Is there a soul hiding inside Ghost in the Shell? Under all that controversy, we dig into what's there. All that and more on today's Sci-Fi Weekly.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Sci-Fi Weekly.
Hey guys, welcome back! The full team's back today on Popcorn Talk Sci-Fi Weekly. I'm your host, Zach Wilson. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at ThatZachWilson. And as I said, everyone's back.
Yes.
We got everybody in place. Not like last week, but like we had to piecemeal everyone together for an emergency session. But we're all here to talk. When Ghost in the Shell is up.
Oh, yeah, so boy.
The team assembles.
Couldn't miss this one.
thank you guys so much for joining Sci-Fi Weekly, the show where we talk about the past, the present, and the future of science fiction. Haley O'Connor.
Yes, I'm here again. Haley O'Connor. That's Haley with two Y's. If you don't use two Y's, you're not two Y's. And that's Haley O'Connor on Twitter.
Hi, I'm Jesse Klein. You can find me at JessKlein1. That's JessKlein, the number one. I'm super excited to get into the science fiction, guys.
Not super excited about Ghost in the Shell?
Don't. What are you talking about?
So we all had thoughts on Ghost in the Shell.
Ooh, yeah.
And I wanted to talk about, because none of us were really fans of the anime, right? Not in, like that we didn't like it, but like the...
No, like the week before I watched some of it to try and like get some sort of reference point.
Because I think there's a lot of people that have talked about like the comparisons to the original, and I want to talk a lot about it just as a movie. Like, if you like, for me, I went
totally
in without any.
Familiar.
So, like, Haley and I went in with zero reference point. I just haven't seen it, and so once we get it, when we get into the show in a few minutes, like, we're gonna talk about that movie just as a movie.
Yeah,
and like, can it, like, without any fanfare around it, can it hold up? And so we're going to answer that question.
Sure. I think I can also answer that question with a small amount of reference point as well.
But we'll get into that in a minute. But before that, we got to talk about all the news from the last couple weeks.
Yeah.
And there's only one speed that we can do that at.
What speed?
Ludicrous speed.
Ludicrous speed! Go!
The Inhuman synopsis is officially out for the IMAX crazy double feature TV show Hybrid Insanity that's coming in September. And it reads, after the royal family of Inhumans is splintered by a military coup, they barely escape to Hawaii, where their surprising interactions with the lush world and humanity around them may prove to not only save them, but the Earth itself. So it's going to be the Inhumans. But we're not going to see their home, which is on the moon, called Adalon. I don't know. Doing the Inhumans without Adalon, that'd be as crazy as doing Iron Fist without seeing Kun Lun. Wait.
Oh, no.
Scott Buck!
You know what? Whenever I write pilots for TV shows, they're always set in Hawaii, too.
I mean, look. If you can.
Lost got it right.
Yeah.
So, in more movie news, Michael Bay announced that he has more plans for Transformers movies up his sleeve. In fact, he has plans for 14 more Transformers movies. That means we'll all be dead, and Transformer movies directed by Michael Bay will still be coming out. We're going to get Beast Wars. That means Optimus Primal, Cheetor, the Rat Guy.
The Purge is getting a TV series, but let me get this straight. So The Purge is like one night a year, right? So that's one episode, presumably the first episode.
Sure.
And then the rest of the series is like a guy working at a bank and having a regular life. But episode one, we saw that guy kill a baby, so great.
Maybe it's good. Is it going to be like 24?
The one night,
What if they really just did like a crossover special? It's 24,
Jack,
The Purge.
Jack Bauer and The Purge? Oh, man.
You get a lot done.
I would watch Jack Bauer and
now
The Purge.
I went immediately from not interested in this TV show to very interested in
Fox,
this TV show.
You know what to do.
Put Jack Bauer in The Purge.
Joss Whedon is rumored, it is a rumor, that he is going to be directing the upcoming Batgirl solo feature in the DCEU. Fanboys and girls everywhere wept for there no were no more movie excitement to be had.
Oh, what a poetic ending to the world. The Master
to the DCEU.
Is the Master is confirmed to come back to Doctor Who this next season. I don't know about you guys, but I think it'd be really interesting to see Doctor Who college years, where the Master and the Doctor are both in the same dorm, and like we see how their rivalry was born.
Oh boy.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Star Trek Discovery is going to be, quote, gritty, much like in the media today. It's going to be gritty, edgy, dark, urban, tween-focused, synergistic, and a Hollywood nightmare.
More Marvel news that is shocking, to say the least.
Yeah.
Squirrel Girl and the New Warriors is going to be a real-life series on Freeform. They picked it up this week straight to series. They're not even going to bother with a pilot. They're just going to shoot it. And that's good news for the Avengers, because they might finally stand a chance against the mad titan Thanos. And if you think I'm being sarcastic, I'm not. Squirrel Girl is one of the weirdly most powerful heroes in the Marvel Universe, who has taken down Thanos, Galactus, among others, just by herself.
I believe she's beaten the Abstracts as well. So she and Tappy Toe, yeah, are main Squirrel.
Oh, I'm sorry, not Solo with Tappy Toe.
Yeah. Are unbeatable.
And that's it. Let's slow it down. Let's pull the brakes. We overshot the news a little bit.
Oops.
Going at ludicrous speed. There's the big trailer from the past couple weeks that was actually like new.
Mm-hmm.
We got the Spider-Man trailer, which I don't even want to watch with, like, I don't want to make anybody watch that.
Not because it's bad.
No, not because it's bad, but because it's the entire movie.
It is really the entire movie. You see every set piece in, yeah, that movie.
Like, the trailer has three acts in it.
Yeah.
So, if you want spoilers, I guess, go watch it.
Yeah.
We're not going to talk about that until we've seen the movie. But the big trailer that came out in the meantime was the trailer for the new It
remake.
Movie,
yeah,
the reboot remake,
whatever like
you
want
to call it. I guess remake is really more accurate.
Yeah, yeah, just it's the same story, obviously.
It's the same story, and like in the trailer, they hit a lot of the same beats of the movie. Yeah,
but let's take a look and see what we think of It.
Classic.
Yeah, same exact.
Yeah,
opening.
Can we turn the volume up a little bit?
Let's see here, like...
Georgie.
It looks nice, like cinematography.
Yeah, it looks awesome.
Good. Yeah, it looks really beautiful.
What do I like better than kids getting injured?
All of us just laughed at that child.
I laughed at Haley laughing at that
funny.
Child. If you like children getting hurt, It is the movie for you.
And this is still set in the 80s.
Yeah.
Correct?
It looks like it.
It would have to be, because nowadays, city ordinances, like...
Yeah.
Also, you can't have a sewer grate that wide.
Also, kids would not people care to play with... ...disappear 6 times the national average.
And that's just grown-ups. Kids are worse.
That's in general. Way worse. Yay, a balloon! Classic. I saw something. There was this. Zach, you were saying it looks very Stranger Things.
It does. Well, it like.
Well, you that's know because, that's like that's looping itself because Stranger Things
looked
is
very
Stephen
it.
King. Yeah.
Well, I just mean like in the sense of like what are we doing like now? It seems like very clear, like especially in these scenes.
Yeah.
And I get that these are like very much remaking the original, but like. I think that the studio's banking on the Stranger Things.
That might be
like
it, yeah.
Acid, like the culture that's out there, to get people into the theater for this.
Creepy clown.
too. YOLO 2. YOLO 2. YOLO 2. YOLO 2.
Now running out of the water is real good. Yeah. Really good. Looks awesome. So did you guys read the book?
I have not.
Because you know, there's
I've heard the book is really, really good.
Well,
and also a lot of screwed up stuff in the
there's
book.
There's some sex between the child characters in the book, which was not in the original movie. So I wonder if they're gonna be faithful to that, because I mean they're 12 or 11 or something, but. It's in the book, so...
I don't know.
I doubt they will do that, but it is, like...
Yeah.
It's a big part of the, like, how to solve the problem.
Yeah, I feel like the studio won't touch that.
We're all on different pages here, because Jesse's seen the movie.
Yep.
Haley, you've seen the movie and read the book. I've done neither of those things.
What a slacker.
It's a gap in my movie knowledge. I never saw.
When is the movie coming out?
September.
We should, for like our September show, one of our September shows, we should all read the book, watch the original one, and then watch the remake and do like a compare and contrast show. Coming to you in September here at Popcorn Talk and Sci-Fi Weekly.
I'm into it. I'm from Maine. I love Stephen King.
Oh, there you go. Then you are clearly biased.
I am definitely biased.
Oh, boy. That'll be a horrifying point in our lives.
Yeah. Wait, why? They're all good.
I do want to go back a little bit so we overshot with our news. I want to talk about The Master for a moment.
Sure.
Because I'm just like, I'm excited about that John Sims is coming back. And what that implies about what they're going to do with this season, it's Moffat's last season. So you get the sense that he is not going to be holding back like any of his ideas. Like he's going. Like,
we're going full Moffat. It's the full Moff.
Yeah. but there's a lot of cool... things that we've seen in the trailers, like he's doing something with, and I imagine this is probably in the episodes same like related to this past Master, because we're gonna see the original Cybermen design, from the 60s, which updated to like modern costuming, but still keeping the design is horrifying.
It does not look okay.
it goes from like cartoonish but like obviously like cheesy to like, oh, that's just terrifying.
They're very clunky and weird looking.
So I'm excited to see. I bet you that ties into some kind of like going back through the Doctor's timeline.
So you're saying Doctor college years?
Maybe.
All right.
If the Time Lords are in play, and we know that Missy's also in here. So the modern version of, like, the current version of the Master is around. So if she's behind it, like, and causes him to like go backwards through his timeline,
or it's something where like she realizes that she can't beat him without another Master,
without being male,
without a man there to help her. She can't.
Maybe you want to pull back that.
Probably it's Moffat, so it's probably that.
it's Moffat. It's probably that. Neil Gaiman isn't writing any of these episodes, so it's probably.
Is he not doing any this year?
I didn't see his name on anything.
I feel like he might have been. Peter Jackson's doing one this season.
Well, that'll be indulgent.
We don't yet know which one. Is he doing? I know that he was on board.
I heard that he was on board, but I didn't see his name attached to any of the episodes.
And you would think that they'd be like yelling that more.
Yeah.
Maybe they're holding off so that they can like write when it's time.
Yeah.
Remind you, like, hey,
Neil Gaiman.
Oh man, can you imagine if they did those together? They're not, but like. Yeah. Like, hey, this one was written by Neil Gaiman and directed by Peter Jackson overseen by Stephen Moffat. You're like, I don't know what you're doing here anymore.
I don't know what this is, but I like it. Without watching it, I enjoy this.
All right, let's get into our main topic, which is Ghost in the Shell. We all watched it. Some of you might have watched it.
I 100% watched it.
In deference to those who might... want to know who might be waiting Let's do a spoiler-free quick review up top,
okay,
if we can. Jesse, you're making a face at that, just at
that. I'm trying to figure it out.
I think without having any knowledge of the source material, I will say I think that if you liked the anime, but also you hate Asians, you'll like it.
Whoa.
That's a very specific group of people, and we do not support them.
No, but they probably exist.
Obviously, there's a lot of controversy about the casting of Major, the first role in the movie, which is Scarlett Johansson. We'll get into that a little bit, and whether it affected and how it affected the movie. I think that colored a lot of
people's opinions.
So the movie is about, in its essence, is about artificial intelligence plus human intelligence added to robotics.
Yeah,
and the ownership of that. To me, that's what the movie was
about.
Yeah,
the crux of it, it's structured, and we've talked about a lot of properties that have this like general theme is like what constitutes personhood or humanity. How much of your body do you have to be human?
Yes.
And is it just the brain and the mind? And then once you get into that, how much is it defined by memory on top of it?
For sure.
Those are all the issues that are being dealt with, which are all very interesting and very heavy sci-fi concepts.
Yeah.
But in a way, concepts that we've seen explored in a lot of movies in the past several years, and like this feels like ground that's been covered in some way, even though maybe the source material is from earlier, it just wasn't made into a live action movie.
Sure.
But it feels a little like, oh, there's kind of, I thought, nothing like new in that area.
The brain, to me, the most interesting thing is the brain and the body, and the fact that I don't remember his name, but the main antagonist thought that because he made the body, he had ownership of the body. And it's the idea of, like, if the person who makes the gun then decides who gets shot.
that's good.
is what it came down to. He made a weapon. It specifically, you know, when they first talked about it, you know, the scientist was like, oh, we could do so many experiments and stuff like that. And he said, no, it's going straight to Section 9. She's going to be a part of this military operation immediately. And it only cuts to a year after that. It's a very quick movie. And so I think that is an interesting theme that I don't think they explored as well as they could have in this movie. Because when he says, like, I own her, it's mine,
is right at the top of the movie.
It is an interesting point where it's, if the gun manufacturer owns the gun, then does he have the right to choose where the gun shoots? And, like, if you own something, if you built it, it's your property. He probably spent billions of dollars on this body.
But the difference is, as opposed to a gun, which is just a tool, this is, at least in theory, a person.
A human brain,
it's a human brain. And, like, so if you... A lot of the concepts here, and, like, so just our spoiler-free review.
Yeah.
And then we'll get into the specifics in a moment. Like, it has a lot of these interesting concepts, and like we're just talking about those concepts is obviously for, like, we like talking about them.
Yes.
I felt like ultimately the movie just didn't have a unique enough take on it.
Yeah.
Or didn't like make its point like loud enough. It just wasn't. It didn't bring as enough interesting to that to justify itself. And I think that's the big question with this movie is, does it justify its own existence as an adaptation? And adaptations, I think, more than, like, does a movie ever need to justify its existence? Generally, I would say no. It can exist for entertainment value or whatever, but when you're going to reboot something, where you're going to remake something popular, yes, there needs to be a reason for it to exist. It needs to either be bringing it either to a completely new audience or to
bring
make
closure
that topic.
To it.
Bring closure to it, or make that present that topic in a new way, present that story in a new way, and that, and taking something. So. sort of the argument here is there enough here to justify taking this topic from being an animated property that is available in English and Japanese. So it's not like it's like only subtitled and all that, but like it's available. Is there enough to justify making it a live action 2-hour movie and putting it out there?
Yeah. And I think also the movie really suffered from a protagonist that the choice was made that because she was a robot, ostensibly, she did not have a lot of emotional range. So there was no audience proxy in the entire movie. So big things were being revealed. And like a lot of big things about her and her past were being revealed. But because she is emotionless, there is no reaction for us to latch on to. There's no, like, something big will happen and the protagonist just is like, okay. And then moves on with, like, playing Tetris. And it's like, well, this is a big deal. Like, we should have seen how big a deal it is. But because there was no audience proxy, none of us knew, like, is everyone supposed to be surprised or is this fine?
Well, ultimately, so that we can put down the spoiler wall.
Yeah.
Did you guys enjoy the film or dislike it? What would your recommendation be to viewers before we get into the nitty-gritty of it?
I disliked it, and kind of what you were saying about the Spider-Man trailer, I feel like everything shown in the trailer was... Like, you kind of already knew what you were getting and all, even the spectacle, which was great. Like, you kind of had seen it all already before you went in, if you watched the trailer. So I was not a huge fan.
Yeah, this is a really, really pretty movie.
Definitely.
It would have been way better if it was just a painting. I did not have a good time in the theater.
Ultimately, I felt the movie dragged a little bit.
It felt foreign in a way. It did feel kind of like not quite American, not quite like one thing or the other all the way.
Yeah. I understand. Like, there were elements of it that felt very anime.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think that was
cool.
Which
I hate.
That was, well, it wasn't
two different reactions.
It was an attempt to replicate what fans liked. Yeah. But the problem is, I don't think it went drastically enough in either direction
to be stylized.
To be truly stylized. Like, if it had been more stylized, I think it could have been a stronger movie. Or if they had look, if they had just taken away some of that stylization and just gone all out for a blockbuster, it wouldn't have been a great movie, but it would have been more that thing. Instead, it became this weird mishmash where it was like sort of one or the other.
Yeah,
and ultimately, so like, the movie was fine for me. Like, here's the thing. I don't think it was necessarily a bad movie, at least from my perspective. It wasn't bad. It just wasn't good, and it didn't justify it. And that was the thing. For me, it didn't justify itself enough for me to call it, I can't recommend necessarily that you go see it other than to experience it. And, like, there's no reason to do that and not wait for it to be on cable.
Put it on in the background during a party so you can see it. Like, it's very pretty. Like, so what, like, in the
like
background
Speed
in a
Racer.
Party.
Like, yeah, the live action
Speed
Racer.
Oh, how dare
Racer.
You. Speed Racer was an amazing movie.
I actually
and
never
I'll
saw
defend
it.
Just,
but, like, but it was on in the background of a party I went to. And we
it's,
were just like,
it's
ooh.
Very pretty, yeah. Put it on the background. Live action Speed Racer is amazing. That's a different argument for a different day. Also based off of an anime.
Yeah.
Also white people playing Asian people.
All right. Let's on that note, like, I think we've all you guys get the consensus of how we feel from a non-spoiler. Well, so now if you have seen it, let's keep talking about
or
the
you
movie.
Don't care.
Yeah, or you don't care. Let's keep talking about the movie like as it was and like all the elements of it. So spoiler alert. We are going to talk about the movie from back to fit, from back to back to front.
Yeah.
Beginning to end. And
all directions.
Yeah.
Any direction.
In this movie, there's
In some way, to me, it felt like there was no subtlety to the point that right in the first 5 minutes they explain the title of the movie and like something about which I'm sure is faithful to the material, but like it seems like a bad translation. We don't call it a ghost. We call it like a soul. It's just a bad translation. Ghost means something else to us. Like, to me, every time everyone said it, I was like, oh, that's weird.
That works for me. Like, I think I'm used to enough in sci-fi where like words get reappropriated and like they don't want to call it a soul because a soul has certain implications to it. Not that ghost doesn't, but I think of soul as something religious.
Yeah.
I think of ghost as something
haunted.
Like, well, a ghost as something that is not, but I don't tie ghost to like Christianity or Judaism.
Yeah, you tie ghost to is a just chair. Like,
yeah.
I think that this movie suffered a lot by, I agree with Haley, the lack of subtlety. I think that if you're going to make this movie about this big mystery about her background, Major's background, where she comes from, then you need to make it much more of a mystery. Basically, every point of evidence was just an answer, a straight up answer, and you saw what was going to be the end point.
Like when from the trailer you saw, trailer, it explained what it was.
But like
when
you met the old Japanese lady, you were immediately like, oh, this it's is mom. This white lady's mom.
Yeah.
And like obviously she was the daughter and like all that kind of stuff. And I think this movie really suffered from that the main mystery was not a mystery and therefore not intriguing enough to keep us attentive for the entire time. I actually think the movie should have started in the third act. I think if you made the third act the first act and you just catch the audience up on everything, that's a more interesting movie. Because like seeing Section 9 get Order 66 or whatever from Star Wars, sorry computer, I know you love Star Wars, and I might have said the wrong order.
No, it's Order 66.
Is it Order 66? Like seeing Section 9, like...
talking about lack of subtlety here.
Don't send mice to stop a fox, that moment. Like, all of that was really interesting to me. I was like, I'd love to see future Japan A-Team. Like, I would love to see that. And, like, what it's like to see, like, this group of specialists fight against a corporation that's taken over the government.
Well, here's a question that I was not clear on in the movie. So Section 9, that little group of, like, hitmen.
Yeah.
In it. How were they connected to the, like, big bad?
So basically, like the big bad guy is like a military. He's Halliburton, basically. Like he's supplying military stuff. So it was like, it would have been like if during like an engagement, Halliburton was like, no, the military can't use any of our instruments anymore, or any of our tools, or any of our weapons.
So Section 9 is the government.
Yes.
Okay. That I feel like the beginning of the movie moves very slow, and I did like even though I saw it in the middle of the afternoon, I found myself like nodding off a little bit.
How empty was your theater?
Actually, pretty full.
Oh,
people walked out during the showing I was in.
Really,
your theater got more empty.
Yeah, which is impossible. It became
you can't
emptier.
Be more empty. Our theater was the emptiest. It was very.
It's doing poorly, right? I thought it was kind of flying.
It is doing poorly. And a lot of that, my theater was actually pretty fun. I mean, it wasn't a big theater.
Yeah.
I saw it as small theater, but like, I would say it was like 75% full. All
right.
Maybe a little more.
Which was five people?
No, I mean, there were probably roughly 60 people. All
right.
In the theater. I think it was like about 100 seat theater.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's like 60, 75 people there. All
right.
But the movie did not do well.
No.
And, like, we should address, like, the elephant in the room when talking about this movie is the casting choice. And in fact, the executives behind the movie, some of them have said that they blame the reviews and the controversy for the bad reviews, which, like, if you're going to take any solace from this, if executives can see that kind of thing leads to
a bad
box
review,
office results, that is how you see change.
Yeah.
How could they not know beforehand?
In a lot of cases where that has been a controversy, it has not affected the box office results. The last time that we had that sort of controversy was Doctor Strange. And that wasn't a lead role, so maybe that was a little bit of...
The last time we had that controversy was The Wall. With Matt Damon.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about The Wall.
It did very poorly.
Well,
yeah. And maybe, I think maybe there was like a thing of like, well, that was like an unknown, it was not a property, yeah. and like it was whatever.
But Dr. Strange,
The Wall actually did very well overseas.
Yeah.
Apparently did well in China, surprisingly.
Well, yeah, it's got Matt Damon in it.
But I think, but like if they are aware of that now, it may actually affect changes in it because this is the first, this is one of the first like big, it's a known property. It's a blockbuster. It's with a very well-known actress in the forefront, somebody who is known for doing blockbusters and franchises.
And doing this type of role.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, this and is a ScarJo role.
And it still flopped, and they're saying, like, hey, wait, lesson learned here, maybe.
Hopefully.
Or, like, hey, we know what happened. The reviews and the reaction killed
will
us.
Will affect them.
Now, how did you guys feel about... Well, how do you feel about the casting? And then once you're in the movie, how did you feel about that as it affected the actual story?
Well, just to be sort of devil's advocate, like, I know, obviously I'm white and I don't get an opinion. I understand all the reasons it's bad. But for this movie in particular, where it's like we built a body to just transplant brains into, basically, that could look like anything. And I guess you would assume if it's a Japanese company, they would make it look like a Japanese person, but you can almost reason it away that, like, it could look like anybody. We just built a person.
And it's also not necessarily, like, a Japanese
company.
Like, this city that they're in is supposed to be sort of it's an international hub of just every culture coming together in this place.
Right.
To the point where even the director of the original anime... When this controversy was first coming out, he was confused. And if the director of that seems to, like, it theoretically may have should have put some of it to bed. If one of the original creators said, "Why would that matter?
Yeah.
I'm cool with it,"
yeah.
which is fine. Except the character herself is supposed to look like a Japanese person,
right? And
in
they
the
kind
anime.
Of made her sort of vaguely. They did stuff to her appearance,
yeah,
so
they kind
did
of
did they?
Yeah,
I mean,
they
other than beyond the haircut,
her eyes were
something
different,
with her
and
eyes.
They gave her high cheekbones too. They changed her face a little bit to make her a little bit more Asian.
But even more than that, like if. Because you need a big name, they say, you know, like it's someone like Scarlett Johansson. Like, more than that, the other Ghost in the Shell, like Michael Pitt, why? Like, actually use, like, if you're going to have your one big name star, like Michael Pitt, who gives a shit? Like, I mean, like, that could have been a not white person easily. Like,
yeah. I mean, they do fill out the rest of the cast beyond those two. Here and there, like it is a multi-ethnic cast around them, but no one in the most significant roles. And that is a flaw, because even though she is Japanese in mind, for better or worse, who you are and what you represent on the outside is important.
Well, also it's just a chance that you could have cast an Asian actress in this role, and that's not, I mean, if you look at our movies, there are not a lot of opportunities for Asian actresses.
No.
And so the fact that it is an Asian character and it went to a white person is an issue. And I think the bigger thing is part of the reason why it's flopping is people who are dedicated fans of the anime are not watching it because it's the wrong casting. So your main base, the people who are your guaranteed views, the people who watch the anime and are big fans of it, are not going to see it because they're upset about the casting. So you already lost, like, who you thought your guaranteed views would be.
Yep.
This is a very popular anime. People love it. People are dedicated to it. If you go online, there are countless sites dedicated to it.
Yeah.
And so, like, they lost that entire base because they didn't cast correctly. And it's like, yeah, you got Scarlett Johansson, so that's going to get your casual viewers, but then you better have a really interesting trailer in order to get those casual viewers to come watch it. And they didn't. and the movie isn't good, like very good, so you're not getting a good word of mouth.
Yeah,
like you're just not, you're not gonna get that. Like if they had the solid base, it would have been fine, because like people weren't upset enough about Doctor Strange that like fans of Marvel didn't go to see Doctor Strange because the Ancient One wasn't an Asian guy with a Fu Manchu. But people, the fans of this anime were upset enough to just not see the movie. They were okay not seeing it.
Well, that was the difference, I think, in this case. They were where Doctor Strange, it was like a more minor role, and I think that the controversy came less from fans of the original.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't the central character.
Mm.
It wasn't a sticking point for like what affected the story or like what fans loved about Doctor Strange. But I think that with this, in this case, that was something that the fans loved and connected to about this character. And because they changed that, it felt like, oh, if you're going to change this, why should I wait for all the other stuff that inevitably you have to change when you adapt things to a new medium?
Yeah.
And so let's talk about like the actual like movie itself around that. Because once you get in there, ultimately it does, like for better or worse, ultimately it does not affect the movie. The only part where her appearance is a factor would be a factor no matter what she looked like, because she's not like the whole thing of taking your brain out of your body and putting it into a new shell.
It is weird
putting that ghost in that shell.
Yeah,
tie that ghost to a chair.
I do think that's interesting that they imply that the ghost is not necessarily connected to the brain.
Yeah,
at a certain point, like it is, and then it isn't.
Yeah.
Right. So, like, what did you guys think? Like, is the idea of the ghost, that the ghost, your soul, whatever you want to call it, is something that can move? Because I think they basically imply that it can move into a new body.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't believe in souls, so
we're living in this universe
I think for that effect. The idea of that they rewrote all of her memories, rewrote everything. If that's who you are, if what makes you is your experiences and your interactions with the world, then yeah, you could move a ghost if you wanted to.
That's a Ship of Theseus issue. There's no original parts left.
Yeah. You could make it anything you want then.
Yeah. I like this. Star Drew, who's joining us live in the chat, has a theory. He doesn't think it's... the casting is why there's no box office returns. Blames WrestleMania.
True.
Sure,
that's
yeah.
Right.
I mean, we could blame WrestleMania for anything.
Everyone was at WrestleMania, so no one was seeing
Ghost in
the show.
The spectacle was really good there. Yeah.
I'm watching wrestling. I can't go to a movie.
Well, I agree, too, with your point that, like, she has no emotions, so the whole movie is sort of like... I don't even, yeah. It's just one, you know, my favorite scene, I think, out of all of it, which is maybe even odd as I'm thinking it through, but like when her sort of partner gets his eyes replaced, and he's kind of emotional. It's funny, too, because you can't see his real eyes either, which for actors is like the whole thing of being able to see someone emote.
Eyes are the window to the ghost.
That's exactly right. But he was kind of like good and obviously felt some type of way about his eye replacement, and she was, you know, nothing. But I liked his moment there.
And she gave him the finger, which was like a moment of character.
Yeah, yeah. She had a piece of personality.
And it was like, ooh, will there be more character? And the answer was not really. not that much. We saw the moment with her and basically her new mom. When she confronted her, and then we saw the moment with old mom, but we didn't really see how she felt about any of it.
I wanted to go back more and spend more time with her actual mom.
Yeah.
That's a part that felt really foreign to me at the end with the mom, and they're at the cemetery, and she just says, "You don't have to come here anymore," or whatever she said. That just seems like... That's not how we would write a line. Like, it just seemed really like, that's weird and sort of cold. I don't know.
I think that was kind of the point. They wanted to make it weird and cold.
Yeah.
I thought it was really interesting. I wish that she was younger. I think it would have been really interesting. Listen, it's not creepy.
I bet.
Unless you point it out. But I think it would have been really interesting, and it would have kind of highlighted the fact that it could be anybody if she had been like an 8-year-old girl that had her brain put into this robot body and then like turned into a weapon. Like, that's really interesting. But she was like 22. Which is fine. But, like, I think that would have really kind of highlighted and made it a lot more alien if, like, this... It would... And it would have made the race difference even... Like, it would have been more acceptable, I think, if you'd also just highlighted, like, yeah, this is completely different. Like, just a completely different experience and body. But no, there was just in a banging Scarlett Johansson body.
Yeah, well, it's really funny, too, like, because, I mean, I guess there must be some logic behind the, like, people won't come unless there's a big name attached to your movie, but she had so few actual lines and not a lot of acting because of the emotionlessness. It really could have been played by anyone, even if you're not a like native English speaker, because it really wouldn't matter. It's just like running around and jumping off buildings
and taking your robe off.
Yeah, take off that robe. But why does that was an issue I had. Like in the very last shot, she's got like this leather duster thing on and then takes it off to jump off. Why does she need to wear clothes at all? I don't think she does.
I think that's kind of the point that they're showing, like,
it's camo.
She wears just like a modesty a modesty duster.
Modest leather duster.
But when she's all business, she's in robot nude.
Mm.
Which, like, it was interesting that when you could tell, like, there were certain scenes where you could tell that it was like a leotard that she was wearing. And
yeah, because it like it wrinkled. Yeah.
Yeah. It was like, it's like the difference between the thing from the Fantastic Four reboot movie and Michael Chiklis in the rubber rock suit. I'll take Michael Chiklis in the rubber rock suit over the new one any day.
Oh yeah, for sure.
But yeah, you can see when the foam rubber bends.
Yeah, whenever he bends his arms, you're like, why are those rocks all bendy?
But, yeah, I mean, I think the cloak was, like, so she could just, like, blend in. Because, people don't generally wear clothes. In this weird futuristic city. Let's talk about the city for a second. This world that they built around it. It was very Blade Runner-y.
Loved it. Was the best part for me.
It was real Akira. It was really Akira-inspired.
As I'm watching, I'm like... Yeah, if they ever have if they ever have hologram technology like this, this is what cities will look like.
Yeah, for sure. Gross.
Except they won't just be like sort of nice like koi fish or like people like dancing. No. It will be like giant Mr. Clean like
winking
swashing,
at you.
Like fake washing the sides of the Empire State Building.
Or a girl in a bikini getting Carl's Jr. all over herself. But just like
and then
giant.
Mr. Clean can come wash her off.
Yeah, Mr. Clean can wash her off.
A giant Ronald McDonald.
Yeah, sure.
Ooh.
That was the thing. I was like, that advertising makes sense in a world where there's like self-driving cars. But when they weren't self-driving, I was like, that is accidents waiting to happen. Because you're like driving through a koi fish while you're going through a traffic intersection. Everyone gets in car accidents in the future. That's why they all have robot body parts.
Yeah, I mean, so what do you guys think about this? The whole culture that built up around enhanced people?
Oh, I think it is very. I forgot to send you this for Sci-Fi in Real Life, but there's a Swedish company that everything is unlocked with a dermal implant there, so like when you go and work for this company, they put a dermal implant in your wrist. And, like, how you unlock your computer is you put your wrist over it. And, like, how you open the door is you put your wrist in it. And they have, like, implant parties where you go and, like, everyone drinks white wine or whatever. And you get the dermal implant when you get hired. And, like, it's a big deal. and like everyone at the company really likes it and thinks it's really cool.
I was like sort of like, that's cool, I'm sort of on board. Yeah. Like until the white wine party where they do it, because that's like culty. That's like, here's a ceremony, come up with your alcoholic drink as we all cheer while we implant you with a tracking device.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's fun as long as you're okay that your company knows where you are 24/7.
Yeah, hope you work there forever. when I was looking up getting a LASIK surgery for my eyes, which I think about all the time, I found this article about, it's not like on the market yet, but there's some eye doctor something somewhere who's made these contacts that are supposed to be like bionic and give you better than perfect vision, and you can see like extreme distances. So like, I think it's coming, the augmenting yourself.
Oh,
for
yeah.
Sure.
I mean, they're like, working out their contact lenses that do things like just for medical, like their contact lenses that can measure diabetes, measure your glucose.
Yeah.
And like it'll be advances like that that I think get us to the point where we start actually enhancing in ways that are not necessary. Like that is something helpful for something that people need.
I think we're 10 years away from getting an iPhone shot into your face. Like I think we're.
I actually think it'll be in the wrist.
I think we're 10 years away from just like boom, iPhone in your face,
straight up Futurama.
Yeah, or Bart. When he, you think he's going to kill himself and it's TV. Listen, we've watched a lot of Simpsons.
But yeah, so as we sort of wind down here, do you guys have any last thoughts on Ghost in the Shell?
It's a bummer. Because I think that there are a lot of really interesting concepts there. And again, like I think if they'd started with the third act and moved forward from there, it's a really interesting concept that I would have liked to have seen. And I think that's kind of what the anime is about. So I'm excited to go and kind of watch the anime and see the good version of this story.
Does it work as like a $100 million commercial for the anime?
Yeah. It's a really good commercial for like... If commercials were like, this is what a gross hamburger is, come see what a good hamburger is. Come on down to In-N-Out.
I mean, because much like a lot of these movies that come out like this, if I haven't seen the source material, I watch this and I'm like, there's a nugget of cool stuff in there.
Yeah.
Now I want to go either read the comic that it's based on or the book or watch the anime. And I think that this, if any good comes out of this movie, because it's just, to me, like, I didn't hate it. I didn't even actively dislike it. I just didn't. I didn't enjoy it. It didn't do anything. I have zero interest in seeing it again. Like, there are movies that I don't think you necessarily, like, need to, like, make it work crazy. But, like, I rewatched Assassin's Creed.
Sure.
Like, last week.
It's dumb.
I enjoyed that movie.
Sure.
It's not a great movie.
Not at all.
I enjoyed it enough that I was actually willing to rewatch it. Because it does some interesting stuff. It retells a story that I already knew, but in a way that I enjoyed.
There were two people in my theater that were asleep.
Yeah.
To be fair, I was at North Century 8. Where they basically...
That's where I saw it.
It's basically where they just give you massage chairs to fall asleep in. Like, I think that's the wrong way to go with movies. You should give spiky, uncomfortable chairs. Yeah, yeah. So people are...
Zap you periodically.
Or just make a good movie.
Listen, or make a good movie. Or spiky, uncomfortable chairs. Hollywood, you decide.
Haley,
this
last
September.
I think the... production design had a lot of cool stuff. It was cool to look at, but I was not a fan of it. With no prior knowledge, I didn't think it was very good, and I don't recommend it.
If you haven't seen it and you're still curious, wait for at minimum Blu-ray, so maybe you could resell it and head back to the Amoeba.
I give it a solid like 8 out of 50.
I was gonna say for me it was like a 5 out of 10. Like again, like not bad, but just not good.
Not good.
And like it doesn't do enough to like want your, like, I'm glad I saw a matinee. Let's put it that way.
Sure.
But yeah, so until next time, guys, this has been Sci-Fi Weekly. I've been your host, Zach Wilson. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @ZachWilson. Also, be sure to check out a lot of shows at AfterBuzz TV that I'm going to be doing because it's spring season. Doctor Who on the AfterBuzz After Show starts up next Sunday, I believe at like 8 p.m.? Don't hold me to that. I'm like 90% sure. Also, The Leftovers is coming back. And Better Call Saul, as well as Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I'm Haley O'Connor on Twitter, Haley O'Connor, and I'm here on the Popcorn Talk Network every Friday morning, acting for the unproduced table read.
I'm Jesse Klein. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at JessKlein1. That's JessKlein, the number one. You can see me on the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. after show with Zach. Also on Tuesdays, you can see me doing the Iron Fist after show with AfterBuzz. Yeah, we get into it. We talk about why it's good. We talk about why it's bad. We have a discussion that's educated and not heated. There's very minimal crying. You can also find me at Haymaker Comedy on YouTube. We make videos there that are sometimes appropriate for work.
All right, guys. This has been Sci-Fi Weekly, the show where we're only one lab coat away from being real scientists. Have a good night.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network. The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only, and not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.